We're holding on Gimel Amud Aleph, fourth line. So we started to, in the Mishnah, we'd said that the Kohen Gadol has to have Prisha, he has to be separated from his wife and separated from his, and out of his house and in a chamber in the Beis Mikdash for 7 days before Yom Kippur. And we said the same thing is true before he prepares the Parah Adoma. So we were discussing where we know this from. There's a pasuk that says, Kasher osa bayom hazeh, as was done on this day, meaning the miluim, the 7 day, this week has 7 days of miluim in preparation for the yom hashmini. Tziva Hashem lasis l'chaper aleichem, Hashem commanded to do in order to be mechaper for you. And we said that the word lasis refers to the parah adoma, and the word l'chaper refers to the avodah of Yom Kippur. So we're in the middle of figuring out why Dafka would mean Yom Kippur. Why wouldn't it mean other Korbanos? Now, of course, Yom Kippur as well, there are Korbanos, but in other words, that other Korbanos without the rest of the Avodah of Yom Kippur maybe conceivably should require Prisha as well. So we said it can't be Korbanos Yochid because there's no fixed time for those, and it has to be something which has a fixed time similar to the Miluim. It can't mean the Shalosh Regalim because it's evidently something that's only once a year. It can't be one particular one of the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach or Sukkos, because those are 7 days, and here it was only 1 day. It can't be Shmini Atzeres for a couple of reasons. One, because there was Kedusha before Shmini Atzeres, so it's not similar to the 8th day of the Miluim, where there was nothing of that level of Kedusha beforehand. Or another answer is because as far as Tashlumim of Korbanos, Shmini Atzeres is considered an appendage of Sukkos. So this is where we're up to. So the Gemara asks, Ve'ema Atzeres, maybe say that we're trying to find where you have that by the Miluim, you had 7 days of preparation, during which time, I mean, Aaron and his sons are not really considered Kohenim yet. They're sort of training for the job. At that point, Rashi mentions in Amud Beis, at that point, during those 7 days, Moshe was serving as Kohen, but that was really a one-off kind of thing because Moshe was not a Kohen in reality. And he wasn't even wearing regular bigde kahuna. The Gemara tells us later in the Masechta that he was wearing cholok lovan mishaloi. He was just wearing a white garment of his own, not proper bigde kahuna. So during those 7 days, you have Aaron and his sons are getting ready for the avodah on the 8th day when they were going to be kohenim, and we're saying they had to be in front of the mishkan for 7 days. So we're saying the same thing, Lododos, if the Pasuk is telling us the word Lachaper, it must mean something where you have 7 days in preparation for 1 day. And so far, by elimination, we said that has to be Yom Kippur. The problem is, Ve'ema Atzeres, maybe it means Shavuos, Deprisha Shiva Yom Echadu. There you have 7 days preparation for 1 day of Yom Tov. Because after all, Dor Isa and in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, Shavuos is only 1 day. The answer is Amar Rab Abba. So Rab Abba says, fine, but you have a different distinction between the Miluim and between the Miluim and Shavuos that you don't have between the Miluim and Yom Kippur. Don in par echad va'ayel echad mi par echad va'ayel echad. We're going to learn by Yom Kippur, you have part of the Musaf of Yom Kippur includes one par and one ayel. The 8th day of the Miluim also had that, as opposed to on Shavuos, La Puki Atzeres to Shnei Elim Ninhu, as opposed to on Shavuos where the Musaf includes two Elim, two Rams. So it's different. Further down in the Gemara, we're going to analyze exactly what korbanos are brought on each of these days, and we're going to see how exactly it compares. So the Gemara asks, first of all, though, okay, that works out. Now it's like this: in Parshas Achrimos, which describes the avodah of Yom Kippur, the pasuk actually mentions two elim because there's the ayil of the Kohen Gadol. There's one that the Kohen Gadol has to bring personally. That's his own person. That's his own personal carbon for himself and the other Kohenim. Fine, we're not dealing with that. But then you have the pasuk mentions that the people should bring an ayil. And then in Parshas Pinchas, when it talks about the Musafim of all the Yom Tovim, it mentions over there also that among the things that have to be brought on Yom Kippur is an ayil. So the question is that the same ayil or not? So so that works out according to the opinion that it's the same ayil mentioned in Parshas Achrimos and in Parshas Pinchas. Then you can say yes. So you have this one ayil of brought by the people, brought from funds of the tzibur on Yom Kippur. There's one ayil that was brought during the miluim from the tzibur, leaving aside the one that was brought by Aaron personally, which we're going to discuss soon. And on the other hand, on Shavuos, you have two. So then you're right, it's not similar, and therefore we can say that if we're going to learn something from the Miluim based on the word Lechaper, it's going to be something which is similar as possible to the Miluim, namely excluding Shavuos. But according to the opinion that even on Yom Kippur, it means two different rams that the Tzibur bring, in other words, then what are you going to say? Which in fact, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rebbe Omer, Ayel Achad, Hu HaOmer Kan, Hu HaOmer B'chumash HaPodim. Rebbe says that the same Ayel Achad mentioned in Achrimos is the same one mentioned in Chumash HaPodim. Chumash HaPodim is Sefer Bamidbar. It's called a Pkudim, which means the countings, because you have all the countings of the Jewish people in Parshas Bamidbar and in Parshas Pinchas. So, and the English name for it is numbers for the same reason. So according to Rebbe, there are two different. According to Rebbe, it's the same one. Rabbi Lozer ben Shimon, Shnei Elim Heim, Echad Amar Kan veEchad Amar B'Chumash Apkodim. And Rabbi Lozer ben Shimon says it's two different ones. One that it says in Achrimos, and the other one that it says in Pinchas. So according to that, then it comes out that you have one par and two Elim on Yom Kippur. You have one par and two Elim on Shavuos. On the other hand, you have one par and one ayil when it comes to the Miluim. So now there's no greater similarity between the Miluim and Yom Kippur than there is between the Miluim and Shavuos. So why not say, again, Shavuos is also one day, just like the eighth day of the Miluim was one day. So maybe what it means is that for 7 days before the Avodah of Shavuos, the Kohen who is going to be bringing those Korbanos has to have Krisha for 7 days before. So the more answers, I feel a tamer Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. No, you could actually even answer which actually Tosfos points out that actually on Shavuos, what it is you had now on Shavuos, you had two separate sets of Korbanos, which the Gemara is going to answer actually in connection with Yom Kippur. Well, let's learn the Gemara first, then we'll see. So the Gemara says, I feel a tamer Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. You could even say that it would work according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon because Hasim Chad L'Choy V'Sayyim V'Chad L'Wusafin. Because when it comes to the ones on Yom Kippur, the one mentioned in Achrimos is not one of the Wusafin. Because if it was one of the Musafim, then it would be mentioned. Then it would be mentioned in Parshas Pinchas together with all the other Musafim. Rather, it's what's called Choivas Hayoyim. It's a requirement, a special requirement for that day on Yom Kippur that there should be this Ayil and one or two other Korban and a couple of other Korbanos that it mentions over there. Now, in other words, so what's the distinction? Rashi says a musaf is whenever the Torah tells us about a korban musaf, it always says a loshan that it's besides for the tumid. In other words, you have the tumid, and then you have this is an additional thing for an additional korban that like similar to the korban tumid. But obviously not the same because it's the musaf because it's the korban musaf, but it's a musaf rather than choivas hayoyim is something else. Choivas hayoyim just means that there's a requirement to bring it on that day, but it's not considered but it's not considered a musaf korban. So Rashi is saying what the distinction is, but it's a little hard to understand. I mean, aside from the fact that it doesn't say milavad ola saboker by the schoivas ayim, what's the actual difference? The Tosfos Yeshanim gives a different distinction. He says that when we talk about a musaf, within the musaf itself, you always have there's a chatas and then there's an ola, and the idea is first you bring the chatas. Morning, Avraham Moshe. The idea is first you bring the chatas. Which then that's like the purpose of the chatas is kapara, is to clean up the avera. Then after that, you bring an oila, which is like a present that you give to the king or the judge after the judgment. So the chatas always comes before the oila when it comes to the musafim. Over here, what it is this we're saying choivas hayoyim. is something else, has nothing to do with that whole procedure of that you're mechaper, and then you give a present. It's you have the ram over here is coming for a different purpose, not for that purpose of dirt, and not for that purpose of a gift. I mean, it is a gift to Hashem, obviously, but it's not part of that judicial procedure, so to speak. Where like you have first you're on judgment for you're on judgment for an avera, so you bring a chatas for kapara, then you bring an oila as a gift to thank the judge for judging you for judging you fairly and exonerating you. The isle of Yom Kippur, which is Chovas Hayom, the Gemara is saying over here, is not really part of that process. The point is, in other words, that even according to the Belozer but of Shimon, we're going to say you have two rams on Yom Kippur, but they have different purposes. One is part of the Musafim, one is Chovas Hayom. And when it comes to the eighth day of the Miluim, also you had a ram that you also had a ram that's Chovas Hayom. You didn't really have as part of the Miluim, you have a Korban Musaf being brought. Actually, Tosfos points out that when it comes to Shavuos, really, you also have more animals than that, because again, you have Chovas Hayom versus Musaf. Shavuos, you also have that distinction between two separate sets of korbanos, the Korban Musaf versus the Chovas Hayom, which comes together with the Shtei Alechem. But in any case, by the Miluim also, actually, we know that the eighth day of the Miluim was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So they were bringing more korbanos than just the ones for the Miluim. In particular, they were bringing a Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. But again, we're distinguishing over here between Chovas Hayom and Musaf. So therefore, we couldn't say, but on Shavuos, you bring more korbanos than that, because those korbanos are Musaf. That's something else. But nevertheless, we still, according to the Belozer, so in other words, we would say like this: by the Miluim, there was one par and one aisle as Chovas Hayom. In addition, there were other korbanos being brought that day. Nachshon brought his korbanos. There were the korbanos of Musaf, but those are separate sets of korbanos which we're not dealing with. When it comes to Yom Kippur, even if we say like the Belozer of Shimon, that there are two different elim that are brought by the tzibur, one as part of the musafim and one as chovas hayom. Fine, the one of the musafim we're going to ignore, the same way as we're going to ignore the musaf of Rosh Chodesh that was brought on the same day as the miluim. We're going to focus on the chovas hayom, and the chovas hayom, there's only one par and one aisle brought by the tzibur. Therefore, it's similar to the miluim and different from Shavuos, where you have two elim as part of the lapukei atzeres, going back to the Gemara, as opposed to atzeres, the tavayu chovas hayom ninu, where you have two elim that are brought, and both of them are chovas hayom. Both of them are not part of the musafim, but both of them are part of the series of korbanos that go with the shtei alechem. So the bottom line is that it's a bit of a subtle distinction, but you do have a distinction between the miluim and Shavuos, which you have more of a similarity between the miluim and Yom Kippur. And therefore, if we're going to learn from the word lechaper, that we have to have prisha, we have to have the Kohen Gadol being separated 7 days from his wife and from his house before he does the avoda, then we're going to assume that based on that lechaper is going to refer to Yom Kippur rather than the avoda of Shavuos. Okay. The question then is Ve'emer Rosh Hashanah. So maybe say we have another Yom Tov of one day, namely Rosh Hashanah. Deprishas Shiva Yemechadu. There also you could say that you have to have Prisha 7 days in order to do one day's avodah. We of course have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but that's because of the case where outside Yerushalayim, because the usual Sfeika D'Yoma, because you don't know when Beis Din was Mekadesh the Chodesh, in Yerushalayim itself, because you could have the case that where Edim come late in the day, and then we tell them to come back tomorrow. But for those reasons, we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But Daraisa, Rosh Hashanah is only one day. So you should say the same thing. That Lechaper means, just like the Miluim, you had 7 days Prisha for 1 day of Avodah, the same thing over here. And then it would mean that 7 days before Rosh Hashanah, you need to have Prisha. Rabbi Bohu says, fine, but there's another similarity between the Miluim and Yom Kippur that we don't have between the Miluim and Rosh Hashanah. Before we were talking about the Korbanos Tzibur, the par and the aisle that are brought as Korbanos Tzibur of the Miluim and on Yom Kippur and on Shavuos respectively. Now we're going to talk about the private Korbanos that the Kohen Gadol himself brings out of his own money on those days. Done in Purva Ayol Shaloi, mi Purva Ayol Shaloi. We're going to derive the par and aisle, which the Kohen Gadol brings out of his own money on Yom Kippur, From the Paran Isle, which also Aaron had to bring out of his own money on the eighth day of the Miluim. La Puki at Seres for Rosh Hashanah. Now we can bring now also we don't need the previous answer about Atzeres, about the number of Korbanos on Atzeres, on Shavuos, and on Rosh Hashanah, the Tzibu Ninu. Fine, there maybe there's a power on the aisle, but they're not brought personally by the Kohen Gadol. They're brought from the money of the Tzibu, just like most Korbanos. So therefore, in other words, what we're doing is, again, we're using logic. Given that we know the Pasuk is saying L'chaper, and we know that L'chaper means there has to be, before some kind of kapara procedure, there has to be 7 days of Prisha. We're going to use logic to narrow down which day that is, and we're saying that by elimination it must be Yom Kippur, because there's no other day which is similar to the Miluim in that. The problem with that is that works out according to the opinion that when the Pasuk says at the beginning of Parashat Shemini, and in other places in Chumash, when it says, but in particular here at the beginning of Shemini, when Moshe tells Aaron, Kach lacha ego ben broka lachafas for ayala oila, so according to one opinion, Kach lacha actually means that you should take it out of your own money. And vasei lacha mishalcha. And similarly, according to that opinion, when the Pasuk uses the expression asei lacha, for example, by the Chatzotzris, where it says in Parashas Baaloscha that Hashem tells Moshe, make for yourself two simple trumpets. So there's an opinion that means mishalcha, that it means that you make it out of your own funds. So according to that, then yes, there is a big difference between the Miluim and Yom Kippur on the one hand, versus Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah on the other hand, where Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, there are no korbanos being brought out of the Kohen Gadol's own money, and over here there is, so therefore we would say that it refers to Yom Kippur. Elul mandor omer mishal tzibur, but according to another opinion, which we're going to quote now, a braisa, that says that no, these words, kach lacha and asei lacha, don't mean that you supply it out of your own money. It does mean that it's brought from money of the tzibur, and we're going to see in a minute, then according to that, why it uses the word lacha. So then, ma'ik lemeima, then what are you going to say? So then that par and ayo on Yom Kippur are brought out of funds of the tzibur, which is exactly the same as the ones on Shavuos and the ones on Rosh Hashanah. So we're back to the question, why should we assume that if we're going to learn from the Miluim, from Kasher Asa Bayim Azet, Siv Hashem Lasas L'chaper, we're going to learn from that, Dafka to Yom Kippur, when it could equally well be Rosh Hashanah, or maybe even Shavuos, which have similar korbanos, a power and an ayil, and it's one day, and they're brought from the money of the Tzibur. So where do we see this machlokes? Netanya, we learn in a braisa, when the Pasuk says kach lacha mishocha, va'asei lacha mishocha, when it says kach lacha, for example, at the beginning of Parashat Shemini, means bring from your own money, and when it says asei lacha, when it says make for yourself, the chatzotzvus, also it means mishocha. On the other hand, continues this opinion, when it says v'yikhu elecha, they should bring to you. In English, you just have the word lecha means to you. There's no real distinction, but lecha means more clearly yours, meaning that it belongs to you. Whereas elecha means more clearly to you, meaning that they're just bringing you something of theirs. So v'yikhu elecha means mishel tzibur. Specifically, for example, you have when it says v'yikhu elecha shemen zayis soch at the beginning of Parashas Tetzaveh. So then it means mishel tzibur. So that kind of thing. So the Shemen HaMishcha was brought from the Tzibur. But according to Rabbi Yoshia, Aaron's Korbanos at the beginning of Parashas Shemini and Moshe and the Chatzotzeres had to be made respectively out of Aaron's and Moshe's personal funds, whereas then when the Shemen HaMishcha came from the Tzibur. That's according to Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonason Oimer, Ben Kach Lacha, Ben V'yikhu Elecha Mishal Tzibur. Rabbi Yonason says, no, there's no distinction. Both of those mean that it comes from money of the Tzibur. Uma Tamad Lema Kach Lacha. So why, by two of them, does it use the expression Kach Lacha? Means Hashem is saying, Kav Yochol Mishalcha Ani Yroitze Yos Mishalahem. Kav Yochol, I would prefer yours more than them. What does that mean? Rashi says two explanations. One is it means if it were possible for the tzibur to have a kapara using something that's brought by the yochid, then Hashem is saying, kav yochol, if it were only possible to do that, then that's what I would prefer. And Lamaisa, we can't, because since it's a carbon tzibur, it has to come from money of the tzibur. So therefore, Belas Brera, we're bringing from the tzibur, but you should know I would have preferred it the other way around. The other explanation, Rashi says, is that kavyochol over here means more like what it usually does. Usually kavyochol in Shas usually means, like we say, something that it's hard for us to say, but we're able to say it because a pasuk expresses it that way. So that gives us the license to be able to say it that way. Here also, it's a very hard thing to say that Hashem would say, Chas v'shalom, I don't want the Jewish people to be bringing me this. I reject what they're doing, and I would prefer if you're bringing it. So to say that Hashem speaks so harshly about the Jewish people is a very hard thing to say. But nevertheless, the pasuk is implying it over here with the word kach l'cha, and therefore Rabbi Yonason says that's what it means over here. Marshab brings a different explanation that what it means is also the whole world belongs to Hashem. So what do we mean kach? What do we mean that you have to bring something to Hashem in the first place? And what do we mean l'cha, as if like it's not mine, it's yours? But we say the whole world was created for the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the whole world was created only for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the ultimate, the consummate tzaddik who received the Torah and brought it to us. So therefore, in that sense, then Hashem is saying that the whole reason I created the world was for you, not for them. Therefore, what I want is I want it to be considered as if it was yours, even though Lamai say it's actually coming from their possessions. So according to Rabbi Yonason, in other words, so there is no difference. Kach l'cha also means bring from money of the tzibur. So we have to. So after we're going to finish the brisa, but then we're going to have to figure out that. So the point is, in other words, on the face of it, then it means that in Parshas Shemini, when Hashem tells Aaron to take an egel and an ayil, it means that it means from money of the tzibur. It means they're Aaron's karbonus in the sense that Aaron is getting a certain kapara for them, like Rashi says on the pasuk that the egel was to tell him that he's miskaper for avoin ha'egel. But nevertheless, it still comes from money of the tzibur. And according to that, then it's exactly the same as Rosh Hashanah and as Shavuos, where it also comes out of the money of the tzibur. So then, according to Rabbi Yonason, why is it that Yom Kippur requires prisha and Rosh Hashanah doesn't? And the Braisa continues, Abba Chanan Omer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, further on this topic of what it means when it says Lacha. There's a pasuk in Parashas Ekev where Hashem tells Moshe another lacha, make lacha for yourself a wooden aron. This was to place the luchas shnius inside. A different pasuk says they, the Jewish people, should make an aron out of shittim wood. So what is it? Is the aron made out of Moshe's funds, or is it made out of the Jewish people's funds? Now, we learned in Shkalim last week or a week and a half ago that there's an opinion that there were actually two different aronis. That there was the Aron where they kept the whole Luchos and the Aron where they kept the broken Luchos, and one constantly stayed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the other went with the Jewish people to war. Our Gemara, B'Pashtos, is going according to the opinion that not like that, there was only one Aron, and so the question is it attributed to Moshe or is it attributed to the Jewish people? So Abba Chanan explains, Hawkates that. How do we reconcile that? Can Bizman Shi Yisrael Oisin Ritzon Hashem Mokrim? One's talking about when the Jewish people are doing what Hashem wants. Then the Avoda is called on their name. Then it's V'osu. Then it's that they're making the Aron. And the other one, Can Bizman Shi Ein Oisin Ritzon Hashem Mokrim? The other one is talking about where the Jewish people are not doing what Hashem wants. Then Hashem, like so to speak, withdraws their name from it and says, like we said before, that's strictly attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'osu L'cha Aron Eitz. And after all, where is the context of that pasuk? Ion Yaakov points out the context of that pasuk for also L'charon Eitz is talking after the first luchos were broken before Hashem gave Moshe the second luchos. So at that time, yeah, the Jewish people really had messed up. They weren't doing Ritzon Hashamakim. Therefore, then it's spoken about as Moshe making the Aron. But later on, after the Jewish people did Tshuva and they're making the Mishkan, then it's described as that they're making it.
But it says l'chatzol chatzotzos, right?
It doesn't. It says I say l'chosh de chatzotzos kesef.
So that's to Moshe Rabbeinu, not to the Yidden.
Well, that's the thing. According to Rabbi Yoshia, it means that he's actually making it out of his own money. And according to Rabbi Yonason, it means Hashem is saying, the fact is, I would have preferred if it come out of your own money, but because it's for the Tzibur, then there's really no choice. We have to have it coming from the Tzibur. Right. So now Abba Chanan is saying that when it says that when it specifically attributes the making of something to Moshe, then it means it's because Yisrael are not doing Ratzon Hashem, whereas when it attributes it to the Jewish people, it means that they are.
So when he was told to make choices, but that during a bad time where Eden were not good,
it doesn't say. I mean, lechora not. This is lechora not. That was one of the last. It's in Parshas Bahaloscha. It's one of the last things before they left Har Sinai and were supposed to be on their way to Eretz Yisrael. So Parshas not. But I guess Abba Chanan is not necessarily focusing on the kach lecha versus v'yikhwe lecha. He's more just focusing in general, aside from you have those two different lashonis, which we can understand them the way Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonason do respectively. Besides that, you have specifically when it comes to the Aron, where in one place it says that Moshe made it, and in another place it says that the Jewish people were supposed to make it. So not necessarily is he addressing the lecha versus elecha at all. He's addressing kind of a side point. Okay. Actually, Marsha says the other way around. It may be the other way around. When the Jewish people are doing our oisin ritzon shamakim, then we don't speak of what they're doing as then. So again, Rashi is saying over here that when they're doing ritzon shamakim, then the work of the Mishkan is attributed to them. That's the v'osu aron atzei shittim, as opposed to when they're not doing ritzon shamakim, then it's the other way around. It's attributed only to Moshe Rabbeinu. Marsha says actually it could be the other way around. You could say that when the Jewish people are doing ritzon shamakim, what the Jewish people do collectively is considered on the level of as if Moshe Rabbeinu himself did it, as though like they're all united within Moshe Rabbeinu and he's doing it for them, as opposed to when Enos and Ritzon Hashamakim, then it's just considered like they themselves did it, like just Malacha Ba'alma, like they're just doing work without it being connected to Moshe Rabbeinu the Nasi Adur. That's the Marsha says that way. Anyway, the point is, the point is, again, according to Rabbi Yonason, and maybe according to Abba Chanan, if it says kach lecha doesn't necessarily mean that Moshe or Aaron is bringing it out of his personal funds. It just means it is a korban tzibur. It is brought out of the money of the tzibur, but Hashem is saying, I would have rather have it the other way around. So then, according to that, then again, the question is, what's different about Yom Kippur? What's different about Yom Kippur and the Miluim versus Rosh Hashanah that we should say that the Miluim and Yom Kippur require Prisha of 7 days and Rosh Hashanah does not? The answer is, the Gemara says, Ad kan leplegi ela bekichos da'alma v'asiyas da'alma. You know what? The machloikus of Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonason is only in general throughout the Torah when it says kach lecha or when it says asei lecha. Does it mean that they have to do it out of their own money or not? For example, kichos da'alma would be kach lecha samim. For example, a different place where it says kach lecha would be, for example, when it talks about in connection with the ketores, where Hashem tells Moshe, take for yourself samim and make the ketores. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, we would be saying that it means that Moshe brings the ketores out of his own personal funds. And according to Rabbi Yonason, it would mean that it is being brought out of money of the tzibur. Actually, the Gvuras Ari, which is the Shagas Ari's Pirush on Masechta Yoma, asks, I mean, why on earth should we assume that the Ketores would be brought out of Moshe's personal money? The Ketores, we learned clearly in Shkolim, is one of the things that's brought from money of the Tzibur. There's no question about that. We even have the case over there where a person has personal ketores by himself that we have to buy it back from him with money of the tzibur. So there's no question the ketores has to come from the money of the tzibur. And b'chlal, I mean, we have one of the things in the list of items that had to be brought for the Mishkan. You have besamim l'shamim amishkan v'ketores hasamim. So it's pretty clear that the ketores had to come out of public funds. And in the end, it says the Nesiim brought the spices for that. So why all of a sudden would Rabbi Yoshia be explaining over here that it means that it has to come from his money? So the Shagas Arya, the Gvuras Ari, wants to say that maybe there's a mistake in the Girsa of the Gemara over here, and maybe instead of the Pasuk Kach Lecha Samim, which is in connection with the Tertus, maybe it's supposed to be Kach Lecha B'Samim Rosh as far as the Shemen HaMishka. So the Shemen HaMishka, you could say, was a special thing. As we learned in Shkolim, it was a one-off thing. There was one there was one batch of Shemen HaMishcha that was made at that time, and it's Kayim La'olam Olamim. It continues to last forever, and the whole 12 logim of it are still there and will be brought out when Mashiach comes and used to anoint the Kohenim and the Mishkan again. So in the Bais Mikdash again. So that you could say maybe that particularly according to Rabbi Yoshia is supposed to come out of Moshe Rabbeinu's personal funds, not necessarily the Ketores though, as the Girsa that we would have over here. But he says it's a little hard to be Magia the Gemara like that. But he thinks maybe that's what it is. Okay. Anyway, so that kind of thing Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonason would argue about. Similarly, Asiyas Dalma, similarly in various places in the Torah, when it says Aseilacha, for example, Aseilacha Shtei Chatzotzis Kesef. So then they're arguing, does it mean that Moshe has to supply the silver himself? Or does it mean that the Jewish people supply it? Aval Hanach, but when it comes to the Miluim and Yom Kippur, even Rabbi Yonason is going to have to agree that it comes from their private funds, from Aaron's private funds. Namely, Aval Hanach Parushi Kamafarish Dimishalchahu. It's clear from the Psukim themselves that it means that Aaron has to bring these Korbanos for the Miluim, and that Aaron has to bring these and future Kohenim Gedolim have to bring these Korbanos for Yom Kippur. Because let's look at the Psukim. B'miluim mechtiksiv, by the Miluim, what does it say? Vel Bnei Yisrael to Dabulim or to Bnei Yisrael. Now, first it says that you should bring korbanos of your own. Then it continues, Vel Bnei Yisrael to Daber Lamer. Then you should speak to Bnei Yisrael and tell them, Kchusir Izim L'chatos, bring a goat for a chatos and some other animals for an oila. Then a few psukim later, it says, the pasuk before that, which says, Vayomer El Aaron, Kach L'cha, Ego and Broka L'chatos Lomali. So why would it be switching? Why would first it be saying Kach L'cha and then say Vel Bnei Yisrael Tadaber Lema Kachu? So therefore, necessarily, Shmamina Kach L'cha Mishalchahu, of necessity, therefore it means that the first set of korbanos is brought out of Aaron's own private money, and the second set is brought out of money of the tzibur. So therefore, even Rabbi Yonason is going to have to agree that therefore, because it's not just the fact that it says Kach L'cha, it's the fact that it says Kach L'cha followed by Vel Bnei Yisrael Tadaber Lema, meaning, in other words, that there are two separate sets over here, one brought by Aaron, one brought by the Jewish people. So that's as far as the Miluim. And by Yom Kippur, B'yom HaKippurim mechti ksib b'zois yovei Aaron al HaKodesh b'far ben broker l'chatas. Remember, the pasuk says, with this, Aaron should come into the Kodesh with a power and with a power for a chatas and an aisle for an oila. And then the pasuk continues, from Bnei Yisrael, they should take two goats for a chatas and an aisle for an oila. So now when it says, v'hikrivas parachatas asher loi lomali, so why when it speaks about this parachatas, why would it dafka have to use the expression that it's his, asher loi, that it belongs to him? Shmamina hai loi, mishaloihu. Therefore, you see again that it means that it has to dafka be his. That when it says, bezois yovei Aaron HaKodesh, b'farben broker l'chatas, v'ayel oila, doesn't mean just that those are prerequisites for him to come in, but those are brought from money of the tzibur. No, it means those are korbanos that are brought out of his own personal money. And then on top of that, you have other korbanos that are brought by the Jewish people. So you see that both by the Miluim and Yom Kippur, the context of the Psukim makes it very clear that the word Kach L'cha in each case, or in the case of Yom Kippur, Asher Loi, means that it actually belongs to him. Therefore, there's a similarity between the Miluim and Yom Kippur, which you don't have between the Miluim and any other Yom Tov, because there's no other Yom Tov when the Kohen Gadol is required to bring Korbanos out of his own personal money. So that shows that the word loy means that it actually belongs to him, and that's that. So that's the similarity. So we've gone through all the different possibilities. Now we finally said the main difference. It's not the number of days we're talking about. It's not the number of days. It's not what was before that day. For example, Shmini Atzeres has Sukkos before it. It's not the number of korbanos. It's the fact that only by the Miluim and only by Yom Kippur do we find this concept where the Kohen Gadol has to bring korbanos out of his own personal funds, which you don't have anywhere else. And even Rabbi Yonason, would have to agree, based on looking at the Psukim, that here it means the Kohen Gadol actually does that and brings it out of his own money. Even though he argues in other cases of Kach L'cha, But here he can't argue because the Pesukim themselves make it clear that that's how it is. Okay. Rav Ashi, Amar, Rav Ashi gives a different answer. We can, after all, say it has nothing to do with, it's not specifically connected, the fact that you need Prisha before the Miluim and before Yom Kippur, not necessarily because of who has to pay for the Korbanos, but rather, we can, after all, go back to what we said before, that we can look at the similarity in the animals that are being brought as Korbanos and still see that there's a difference between the Miluim and Yom Kippur on the one hand versus Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos on the other hand. So Rav Ashi, I'm a don in Par L'chatas V'ayel L'Ola, Mi Par L'chatas V'ayel L'Ola. We can derive a Par where you have a Par being brought for a Chatas and an Ayel for an Ola, which is the case by Yom Kippur, Mi Par L'chatas V'ayel L'Ola, which was the case by the eighth day of the Miluim, La'apuki Rosh Hashanah V'atzeres T'avayel Olas Ninu. Therefore, that would exclude Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos, where both of those korbanos are both oilus. So it's not the same thing. So in fact, Tosfos actually points out that the Gemara could have easily brought this before, and then that would have made the whole discussion a lot shorter. The difference is, in other words, that the Tosfos says before, when they asked the question about Rosh Hashanah, it was only about Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the answer he came up with is that Rosh Hashanah is different because you have because you have that it comes from the Yochid versus that it comes from the Tzibur. So that was the only distinction he could think of, is that it's a Yochid versus Tzibur. Now, with Rav Ashi, we're mentioning Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, so we'd prefer to have one answer that covers both of them. Okay. Ravina Omar, Donin avoided b'koin gadol, me avoided b'koin gadol. Ravina gives a different answer. You can learn something where the avoida dafka has to be done by the koin gadol, namely Yom Kippur, whereas we said at the beginning of the Masechta, the whole avoida of Yom Kippur has to be done specifically by the koin gadol. We're going to learn that, me avoida b'koin gadol, from the Miluim, where also on the eighth day of the Miluim, Aaron had to do the whole avoida himself. His sons, we just said, were kind of in a supporting role over there. Vayamtziu, they're handing him the blood, etc. But basically, he's doing as much as possible of the avoda himself. La'apuki kulu kushyasin, as opposed to everything that we were asking about throughout the whole sugya, the other yamim tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Shavuos, other Shmini Atzeres, etc., all of them, the lav avoda b'kohen gadol ninu. None of those days do we find that the kohen gadol dafka has to do the avoda. Therefore, again, if we're going to say that there's a similarity between the miluim and something else, and say that we're going to learn from the word l'chaper, then it's more logical to say that similarity is going to be with Yom Kippur more than anything else. The ikadamri, a different version of how Ravina said it, was omer Ravina don an avoda tchila me avoda tchila. We learn the first time the avoda is being done from the first time the avoda is being done. As opposed to all the other Yom Tovim, is not Tchila, is not the first time it's being done. So the Gemara asks, what does that mean? My Tchila. What do we mean by Tchila in this connection? Do we mean that it's the first time that the Kohen Gadol has to do the Avoda? Namely, we would say the Miluim, the eighth day is the first time the Kohen Gadol is actually doing Korbanos Tzibur. That, in other words, again, during the first 7 days, Moshe is functioning as the interim Kohen Gadol. Only on the eighth day does Aaron take over. And you're going to say that Yom Kippur, well, the very first Yom Kippur that ever took place, the first Yom Kippur that took place is the first time that the Kohen Gadol had a requirement to do the Avoda of some Yom Tov in the Bais Mikdash. And you would say from there we learn for all future Yom Kippurs. If you're going to learn like that, that's what Ravina meant, then Hainu Kamaisa, that's exactly the same as the first Lashon. The first Lashon said it has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. The second one is saying it's the first time the Kohen Gadol does it. No, the second Lashon of Ravina says, forget about the fact that the Kohen Gadol does it, but think of the fact that it's the first time that the Avoda is being done in a certain place, namely by the Miluim. Now you had the 7 days of Miluim where Moshe is functioning as the temporary Kohen Gadol. But again, that's not really considered the Avoda taking place in the Mishkan yet, because as Rashi explains, really, Avoda has to be done with Bigde Kohuna, whereas Moshe was not wearing Bigde Kohuna. Moshe was wearing Choluk Lovan Mishaloi, a white garment of his own. Actually, it doesn't mention that later in the Masechta, actually, but it mentions that in a couple of other places in Shas. Anyway, the point is that, so that's not really considered Avoda yet. The very first time when there's Avoda by the Mizbeach HaChitzon is when Aaron does it on the eighth day. And the first time that there's avodah being done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Therefore, you have that similarity between them that you don't have with any other Yom Tov, because there's no other Yom Tov when you can say it's the first time when the avodah is being done in a certain part of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, so we have four different answers so far how we know that Prisha is specifically by Yom Kippur and no others. We have the Stamma de Gemara's answer, which was that only Yom Kippur and the Miluyim do we have Kobonis being brought out of the Kohen Gadol's personal funds. We don't have that by any other Yom Tov. We have Rav Ashi's answer that the Kobonis of the Miluyim and of Yom Kippur have a parah and an ayil, which are one zachatas, one the parah is a chatas, the ayil is an ola, which you have by the Miluyim as well. You don't have that by any other Yom Tov, where they're both oilas. And you have Ravina's first answer that it's a difference whether the Kohen Gadol has to do the avoda or not. And Ravina's second answer that it depends whether it's the first avoda being done in a certain place, namely the Mizbeach HaChitzen and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, respectively, or not. Okay. So now that we've gone through all that, now we're going to revisit what in fact we're learning from this pasuk. Now, all this time, we've been going based on an original statement by Rabbi Yochanan that says that when the pasuk says, by the Miluyim, Lasos and Lachaper, then it means there are two different things we're learning from the Miluyim. One, Yom Kippur, which is one the Parah Adumah, which is Lasos, and the other, which is Yom Kippur, Lachaper, and then that led us into this whole discussion, how we know that Lachaper specifically refers to Yom Kippur. Now we're going to revisit that point and see whether, in fact, we are learning both the Parah Adumah and Yom Kippur from that pasuk. So the Gemara says, Ki Osir of Dimi Omer, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Rabbi Yochanan Masti Choda, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Masti Tauti. Actually, Rabbi Yochanan learned from this pasuk only one thing. He learned from this pasuk that there's only one other case where you need Prisha, and we'll see soon which one that is. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Masti Tauti, whereas Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that there are two. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would be saying, like we said at the beginning, Lasas and Lachaper mean two different things. Rabbi Yochanan would be saying that they refer to only one thing, as we're going to discuss soon. By the way, if you notice, the words Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi are in parenthesis over here, and in fact, Maseres HaShas brings that there was a different girsa, Reish Lakish. However, the Marsha and other Mephoshim say over here that later on we're going to have Reish Lakish, who says that we don't learn from the Miluyim at all. He just says that you don't even learn from the Pasuk Lasis and Lachaper or anything. You learn the Prisha before Yom Kippur and by the Parah Adumah from other sources. So therefore, we can't say that according to him, you're learning both of them from this pasuk. So it has to be Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, rather. Okay. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan Masni Chada, Rabbi Yochanan is learning one and only one prisha from the pasuk. That when it says Lasis Lachaper Eilam Maisi Yom Kippurim, the words Lasis and Lachaper together refer to Yom Kippur, and that would be, in other words, because with Lachaper you have the whole problem that we were discussing up until now, that Lachaper could conceivably mean other korbanos that are brought for kapara. How we figure that it's only Yom Kippur is we had to go through this whole sugya and narrow it down, but Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like all of that, so therefore he wants the word Lasis and Lachaper together to refer to Yom Kippur. Well, you can say Lasis means you have a whole procedure, that you have a whole avodah that you have to do on Yom Kippur that you don't have by any other Yom Tov. So you only learn from it the Prisha of Yom Kippur. According to him, where do you get the Prisha? By the Parah Adumah, we'll talk about in a minute. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Masni Tauti. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi learns both things from it. Like we said, Lasis Elamaisi Parah, Lachaper Elamaisi Yom Kippurim. So according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, both of them are being learned from this pasuk, and they're both daraisa, whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan not. So the question is, what do you mean Rabbi Yochanan masni chada? What do you mean Rabbi Yochanan learns only one thing from the pasuk? V'anantanan shivas yamim kodim yom kippurim v'shivas yamim kodim streifas apara. Our Mishnah says that 7 days before Yom Kippur, he has to be separated. In Masech the Parah, it says that 7 days before the Parah is burned, he has to be separated. So we see that there's both of them. So why is Rabbi Yochanan saying we learn only one? The answer is Rabbi Yochanan would say, when it comes to the Parah Adumah, Maila Ba'alma. He would say that's not Daraisa. That's just one of these Milas which the Chachamim set up. We said on Daf Beis that because the Parah Adumah is able to be prepared by a Tevul Yoim, and we Dafka make it done by a Tevul Yoim in order to show that the Tzukim are wrong, who claim that it can't be done by a Tevul Yoim, therefore we Dafka have it made by a Tevul Yoim. But once we do that, then we put all kinds of milos and chumras in connection with the Parah Adumah in order that people don't get careless with Tumah V'Tahara around it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, one of those milos is the 7 days of Prisha, but not that it would be Daraisa. I forgot to mention yesterday, by the way, I once saw an interesting vote. What was the underlying argument between the Tzedukim and the Chachamim on that? Why the Tzedukim insisted that it has to be done by Me'urve Shemesh, by people who are completely Tahar, and the Chachamim are saying that it can be done even by Tvul Yom, is a Tvul Yom, after all, still has a degree of Tumah. The Chachamim are saying it's fine. When it comes to helping another Yid get out of the severe Tumah, of Tumas mess that he's in, you don't have to be perfect yourself in order to do that. Even if yourself still have a shtickel Tumah, you can still work on schlepping him out. And therefore, you can burn the Parah Aduma. Whereas the Tzedukim wanted to insist that no, you yourself have to be perfect before you can even start on working on being poil on the other guy. And therefore, they insisted it has to be Me'urve Shemesh. And of course, the halacha is not like the Tzedukim. The halacha is like the Chachamim, that even if you yourself still have what to work on for yourself, you still can be working on being poil on another Yid and help them get out of their Tumah. Okay, so anyway, so according to Rabbi Yechon, and again, the same way as we have many other milas in connection with the Parah Aduma, which are not Daraisa, so they're strictly milas Dirabbanan for this reason, that people don't get careless with the Parah Aduma and the Tahara V'Tumah of it. The 7 days separation is also a mila ba'alma. We don't actually have to learn it from the Pasuk. So according to him, there's only one thing we learn from the Pasuk, namely the Prisha before Yom Kippur. Okay. So the question is, what do you mean that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that? We said at the beginning of the sugya, that kasha also by Yemez Atziva Hashem Lasis L'chaper Aleichem Lasis Eila Maisi Poro L'chaper Eila Maisi Yom Kippurim. We see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan himself is the one who's saying that you learn from Lasis and L'chaper the two different things, the Poro and Yom Kippur. So what are you telling me that he holds that only one of them is Daraisa, that only one of them is learned from the Pasuk? The answer was Ahu Dir Rabbe. That explanation is only according to Rabbi Yechanan's Rebbe. He himself, he's quoting it, but he himself disagrees with it. D'chi asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechanan Meshum Rabbi Shmuel, because when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported that Rabbi Yechanan said, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Lasas Elamaisa Parol Chape Elamaisa Yemek Parim. Meaning, in other words, that Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel on that. Now, Tosfos asked the question, Rabbi Yechanan is an Amora. How is he able to disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, who's a Tana? So Tosfos gives two answers. Number one is because further on Daf Dalet, we're going to have a Braisa, that supports Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. So, okay, then it's a Machalukas Tanoim, and Rabbi Yechanan is entitled to pick one side and go according to it. Or Tosfos says, since we're saying that Rabbi Yechanan said it in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that itself implies that only Rabbi Shmuel says it, and the Chachamim disagree with him. So even if we don't have an explicit Braisa saying that the Chachamim disagree, nevertheless, the fact that he says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel implies the Chachamim disagree, and therefore Rabbi Yechanan is able to follow the Chachamim. Okay, so in other words, so Rabbi Yechanan is quoting Rabbi Shmuel as saying, like Rabbi Shimon Levi, that you learn both them, the Parah and Yom Kippur, from the Pasuk, from the two words in the Pasuk, Lasis and Lachaper. But Rabbi Yechanan himself disagrees and says that you learn only one of them, Yom Kippur, from there, and the other one by the Parah Aduma is Ma'ilabal. Okay, now, Amalei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan, but now Rish Lakish asks Rabbi Yechanan, Mehecha Kayalfas. Okay, so where are you learning the Prisha before Yom Kippur? At least the Prisha of Yom Kippur, you're agreeing, you're learning Mimiluim. The problem with that is, if that's the case, maybe that means Mamiluim Kalakosaban Ma'akabahan. By the Miluim, we find that everything that it says in the Pesukim about the Miluim, it has to be done exactly that way. And if they missed out a detail, then it was possible. Af Hochanami Kalakosaban Ma'akabahan. Maybe then the same thing by Yom Kippur, you should say that every detail is Ma'akiv. V'chitema hochinami, so you're going to say, okay, yeah, that's exactly what it means. Every detail of the avodah of Yom Kippur that we're learning from the Miluim has to be, is ma'akib. The problem with that is that, v'hotanan, we learned in our Mishnah, u'maskin in loikoyen acher, we said in the Mishnah that we set up a second koyen, an understudy to replace the koyen gadol in case he becomes tamei or what have you. But umaskinin doesn't necessarily mean that we separate him from his house. Veloikotani mafrishin. It doesn't say we separate him. It just says we designate him. We tell him, you should know, you may have to do the avoda. So therefore, make sure that you know it thoroughly. And like we said at the beginning, according to Tosfos Ri Alavon, we're also fitting him for a set of Bigdei Zahav, etc. But not that we have to actually separate them from his house. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if we're learning from the Miluim, and by the Miluim, we're saying everything that it says in the Pesukim there by the Miluim had to be done exactly like the way it says, means it has to be exactly the way it is. So therefore, it would mean that if the Kohen Gadol is going to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur without 7 days Prisha, then it would be no good. The problem with that is that what happens if the Kohen Gadol does become Tamei and the replacement takes over instead? He doesn't have 7 days Prisha, and we're still saying his Avodah is kosher. So obviously, therefore, v'chitema mai maskin in mafrishin. So continues a shlokish. You might answer very simply: maskinin does actually mean that you separate him. It means that yes, this understudy is also separated from his wife and from his house for 7 days. The problem with that is, listen, oy aidi v'aidi maskinin, oy aidi v'aidi mafrishin. Then it should use the same expression in both parts of the Mishnah. We said shivas yom mafrishin kohen gadol or maskinin loy kohen acher. So if it was both of them have to be separated, then it would either say maskinin by both of them or mafrishin by both of them. The fact that it says mafrishin by the Kohen Gadol and maskinin by the understudy means that one of them, the Kohen Gadol, is actually separated and has to stay in the Lishkas Sanhedrin, and the other one doesn't. Now, according to you, Rabbi Yechanan, if you're learning from the Miluim, you should have to say that, just like by the Miluim, if they didn't stay there for 7 days, then the Miluim would be posel. So also now, if he doesn't stay there for 7 days, then the Avodah of Yom Kippur is going to be posel. And we see that not, because the word maskinin implies, the fact that it uses the word maskinin instead of, again, the word mafrishin, means that he doesn't have to be separated for 7 days. So we can't say that you can't say you're learning from the Miluim. Now, now the Gemara doesn't give an answer of what Rabbi Yochanan answers to that. The Gemara just continues that Rabbi Yochanan asks Rish Lakish, so where do you think to learn it from? But what would Rabbi Yochanan answer to that? Tosfos Yeshanim explains that sometimes they bring based on Yerushalmi that sometimes you have when you're learning by Gzeira Shava from one thing or by Mamatzinu or whatever from one thing to another, we don't say that all the rules that apply by the first one also apply by the second one. And he gives an example as far as in connection with the malika of a bird. You have examples like that where the same way over here, Rabbi Yochanan can say, just because by the Miluim, the 7 days are ma'akiv, doesn't necessarily mean that by Yom Kippur, that the 7 days are going to be ma'akiv. So Rabbi Yochanan could answer it that way. But okay, the Gemara doesn't mention that point. So Rabbi Yochanan asks Rish Lakish, fine, if you're going to say that you can't learn from the Miluim to Yom Kippur, so already we have. So again, Rabbi Shrub and Levi says that we learn both Yom Kippur and the Parah Adoma from Miluim. Rabbi Yechanan himself disagrees, and Rabbi Yechanan says the same thing in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yechanan himself disagrees, and you learn only Yom Kippur. Parah Adoma, he says, is Ma'ilab Alma. But if you, Rish Lakish, are saying we can't even learn Yom Kippur from this pasuk about the Miluim, Elamar Mehecha Yalifla, so where are you learning it from then? Omar, so Rish Lakish answers, Mi Sinai. I would say that we learn the Prisha before Yom Kippur from what Moshe did before he went up onto Har Sinai. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayishkan Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, the glory of Hashem, meaning the cloud of the Shekhinah, rested on Har Sinai for 6 days, rested on Har Sinai, Vayichaseu Ha'onan Sheshis Yomim, the cloud covered him. We're going to learn tomorrow in the Gemara that there's two ways of understanding the word Vayichaseu. Does it mean it covered the mountain, or does it mean it covered Moshe? We'll talk about that tomorrow in the Gemara, Be'ez Hashem. But right now, Rish Lakish is understanding that the word Vayichaseu Ha'onan means that the cloud covered him, Moshe, for 6 days. Vayikra Moshe Vayimashvi, and then he called out to Moshe on the seventh day. So therefore, now, so Rish Lakish says, Mechti k'siv vayikra Moshe vayimashvi. If it says that he called to Moshe on the seventh day, obviously that means the seventh day means there were 6 days before it. My sheshes yamim. So why does the pasuk have to stress that there were 6 days before it? Zeb bona av. This makes a binyan av. Shekol anichnas b'machnes shechina. Anybody who's going to go into the area of the shechina. Now, usually in the Gemara terminology, usually machnes shechina means the whole azara. Here we're using it in a narrow sense, meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or in the case of Moshe, how Sinai, where and he goes up to be close with Hashem. So when a person is going into there, Tone Prisha Shisha, then he needs to first be separated for 6 days. So that's where I'm learning it from, not from the Miluim, but rather from Moshe's preparation before he went to receive the Torah. The question is, Va'anan Shiva Tanan. What do you mean, though? Our Mishnah said 7 days. The answer is Masnis and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseirahi, the Chayesh L'Trumas Beisoy. Yes, but our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseirah, who is concerned about the possibility. What happens if he has relations with his wife, and it turns out that she was a nidda, and the pasuk tells us that a boil nidda is tummy for 7 days, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder wants to be on the safe side, we have to have 7 days. In other words, that it comes out according to Tosfos Yeshanim, according to Rish Lakish, Daraisa, you'd need only 6 days before Yom Kippur. Dirabbanan, because of Rabbi Shimon ben Beseder's concern, then therefore we add a seventh day. So therefore, just in case he becomes a boil nidda, but not that we would learn from Miluim, where you actually had 7 days over there. Rather, we would say that Daraisa, you only need six, and then we're adding the seventh one to be on the safe side. The Ritva also adds, I mean, if it was just a matter of being concerned for Tumah like that, first of all, we might not even be Machvishim at all. The chance that he's going to be with her when she's a nidda, and then he's going to become a boil nidda is a rather remote thing. We wouldn't make him do Prisha only for that. So it has to be that at least there's a source for most of the Prisha in the Torah, the 6 days. And also, he says, even if we were going to be mafreshim, fine, we could say he has to stay away from his wife. Wouldn't necessarily mean that he has to move into Lishkas Parhedrin for a week. That the fact that we do that must be that we learn from someplace, namely that we're learning according to Rish Lakish from the Prisha before Matan Torah, where before Moshe went up to receive the Luchas, where he was covered by the cloud for 6 days, and then we're adding the seventh day because of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder's concern. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with this discussion, and we'll also see what the possibilities are, what it means when it says that the cloud covered him or it for 6 days, and then on the seventh day he went up. What does that mean? Does it mean, are we talking about that it covered Moshe for 6 days? Is it talking about that it covered Har Sinai for 6 days? We'll get into that whole discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Thank you. So right now the answer of the person who is the backup person, right now, we don't know that he has to have Prisha for 7 days. Is that right?
So right now we're saying, at least according to the surface meaning of the Gemara, the backup doesn't need Prisha for 7 days. Now, there are some of the Rishonim who learn that maybe after all, he does need Prisha for 7 days. They would understand that our Gemara over here is only according to one mandama. We're talking again, this that we said, there's the distinction between Maskin and Mafrishin is only according to Rish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, maybe there is no distinction, and you would taka need Prisha for both of them. Maybe even, again, we said the answer of Tosfos Yeshanim, that Rabbi Yochanan would say that not necessarily just because it's Ma'akav by the Miluim doesn't necessarily mean that it's Ma'akav by Yom Kippur, but a different answer that some Mefarshim give is yes, Rabbi Yochanan would say, as a matter of fact, it is Ma'akav, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying, yes, both of them, in fact, do require Prisha, even though that's not the surface meaning of the Gemara. But according to Rish Lakish, definitely not. We would say that according to him, definitely the replacement Kohen Gadol does not need Prisha. But that's what he's saying. We don't learn it from the Miluim. That's Ma'akev anyway. We're just learning it from Har Sinai. We needed Prisha in order to go into the Machne Shechina. So that doesn't necessarily mean that we should have to apply that to the understudy, where not necessarily is even going into Machne Shechina anyway.
But if he would have to go, he would have to.
If he would have to, then according to, that's fine, but according to Rish Lakish, again, we're saying that Moshe needed that before he went up onto Har Sinai. We're saying a person should have that, but not necessarily are we saying that it's Ma'akiv. We can say the proper way of doing it is that he should have it, but if he doesn't, then fine, it's not Ma'akiv. As opposed to, according to Rish Lakish, if we learned it from the Miluim, Rish Lakish argues, we know that every detail of the Miluim was Ma'akiv, so then we would have to argue that over here by Yom Kippur, it is Ma'akiv, and he would, in fact, require Prisha, and we don't see that.
Okay.